family and friends. It's just so good to be connected again. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just give him a hand clap of praise for just his grace and mercy in our lives. I just want to welcome our first time visitors, or maybe this is your second or third time. Also, as always, and as we go through the service, we always give the invitation for salvation. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, says you will be saved. We've got plenty of information on our website where you can walk through, get you connected, that you can be discipled, that you can grow in the Lord. Also on our website at ebcnc.com, we've got things for edification on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, different Bible studies. On Wednesday, we're going through the book of Luke. And on Thursdays, we have an in-person Bible study in our sanctuary at 6 o'clock, where we're going through the book of 1 John. So the Lord has just been so, so good. And I just want to thank you. Thank you for being cheerful givers. Thank you for praying for Ebenezer. Giving is not just monetarily, but giving is reaching out to those that are around us, our neighbors, our friends, our family, our coworkers. So many people are going through in this season and time, and God wants to use us to encourage them. And that's what we're going to talk about today in renewing our mind, prayer. How God uses prayer to change us, to change our minds to be more like him. Well, I'm excited about today's word, and I want you to be prepared to receive it. So we'll see you soon. You be blessed.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. This morning I'll be reading from Romans 12, 9 through 19. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving in the Lord. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone with evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord.
Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and what he has done for me, oh, my soul.
To renew our mind. this transformation of our mind, how we learn, how God teaches us. And I am just thinking about where we're going today. Really, we're going to be getting in some foundation blocks, some building blocks. But before we get there, let's go over our memory verse that we've been reading into our minds so that it'll seep down into our hearts. So Romans 12 and 2, I want you to read it with me. And I know many of you already, you're like, I got it, Pastor. I don't want you just to have a memorized verse. I wanted to get it into your heart that you can use it on a daily basis. So let's read together. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Amen. Well, before we go any further, I want you to go in a word of prayer with me, because this is what we're going to be dealing with today. Prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for who you are. Just say we love you. Thank you for your presence in spite of our mistakes and our issues. And Lord, I just pray today, if there's someone that's viewing, listening in, that doesn't know you, that today be their day to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Lord, I ask you to move me out of the way, forgive me of my sins, and Holy Spirit, thank you for dwelling with us, and we welcome you as our teacher, our guide. Would you lead us and guide us into all truth? Please make this word today so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed and be like you. We love you, Lord. You are amazing, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you put in the chat, amen? Let's go to a New Testament portion of the Gospels as we look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. Matthew 6 and verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Listen to that again, Matthew 6, 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. I want to speak from a title today, Learning Through Prayer. Yes, learning through prayer. Time frame is Jesus is in the early part of his ministry, 30-31 AD. So much has happened. He's chosen his disciples. He's teaching like none other. Even miracles, signs, and wonders are coming forth. But in all of this, the biggest thing that's impacting people is that they're seeing lives being transformed. They're seeing people really grasping hope. Those who were hopeless, now they have hope that, you know, this is the Messiah. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In chapter 5, Jesus actually goes through, which is known as that Sermon on the Mount. And as you go through the Gospels, various pieces of it are in different perspectives. But the section that we're going to go in today is actually introduced in various parts of the Scriptures, or at least the Gospels. And in Luke chapter 11 and 1, this is the introduction of this section that we're getting into. It says, now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Can you put it in the chat? Teach us to pray. I know that's a lot of typing, but put it as important. Teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples, learning through prayer. When they saw Jesus pray, they were amazed. And this is so important, because they were used to books of prayer, in a sense, that were memorized, and they would say the same prayer over and over again. But when they saw Jesus pray, it was relational. It was like talking to someone else, which he was talking to his fathers, and they were so impacted with his view, or viewing him pray, that they said, we want you to teach us how to have that connection. I believe today's lesson is going to challenge us. It's going to challenge us in how we pray, how we should pray, because our minds have to be renewed to really accept this teaching, to understand. And so God is teaching us via the Holy Spirit through prayer. Let's jump into this section, Matthew 6:5. And when you pray, Jesus says, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Our first point, what is your motivation? Yes, what is your motivation? Why do we do what we do? Why do we pray? And now Jesus really looks at the externalities. So many times we live our lives for other people, right? We dress up many times for other people. We put makeup on for other people. We drive a certain car a lot of times for other people. We live in neighborhoods to impress other people. All of these things were challenged. You may say, Pastor, that's not me. You know, I'm not moved by other people, but please understand all of us interact and we want to be accepted. But Jesus says we've got to get past the influence per se of other people in our lives. Notice closely Matthew 6:5. He says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. This hypocrites was putting a mask on. They were pretending like they were something that they weren't. And then it says that they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. This is sad because even as we fellowship together, there are some times that people are not focused on God, but they're focused on everybody else. They're focused on the words and the thought patterns and focused on that they want people to think that they're holy and close to God. But the Lord spoke to me a long time ago. He said, if you're praying like this and lifting up hands to me and the assembly, but yet you're not doing that at home, you're a hypocrite. And we must understand in our lives, God wants us to be consistent. The Pharisees were notorious hypocritical people. Yes, they pretended like they had this relationship with God when they were totally lost. Jesus gave a teaching about this in Luke 18:9. He says, also, we spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. We have to be careful that we don't judge other people. We need to realize that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the kingdom of God. Are there any amens out there? Luke 18:10, it says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Look at this 11th verse. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I love that. He prayed with himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I can see him kind of looking over at him. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. That 13th verse, and the tax collector standing afar off, look at this, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Luke 18:14. I tell you, Jesus says, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Learning through prayer, what is our motivation when we're praying? And that's why our mind has to be renewed to know that we're connecting with the God of the universe. Look at Matthew 6:6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Here's the next one. I love this point. The secret place. Yes. Can you just put that in the chat? I love that. The secret place, learning through prayer. God lets us know as Jesus is teaching, he says, I want you not to be like the Pharisees. I want you not to be hypocritical, but be sincere when you come to me. And the way to find out about your sincerity, can you do that? Can you talk to me when nobody else is looking at you? Can you talk to me when you're all by yourself? The question is, how much time do you spend with God? Yeah, see, ask yourself, how much time do I spend to God? We live in a challenging time. So many distractions. There's always something to do. Any amens out there? There's always something pulling at us. We got thousands of channels. We've got these smartphones and smart devices that are around us. How much time are we spending in prayer? Do you even have a secret place? Ouch. You could put that in the chat. Ouch. Because some of us don't even have a designated place where we actually pray. And I understand God says pray without ceasing. And many of us, we pray on the way to work and we pray in various places. We should. We really should. But there needs to be a designated secret place in our home, the place that we're residing, that we can go and be in the presence of the Lord. And we can learn. We can learn of Him. We can learn through prayer. Lord, put this on my heart. He says, this is where we truly learn as a Christian and are transformed so that our light can shine before mankind in purity. Learning through prayer. This is where we truly learn as a Christian and are transformed so that our light can shine before mankind in purity. This is so important this season and time. I'm seeing people fail, and it all comes back to, are we praying? Are we being transformed by the renewing of our mind in the presence of God, spending lengthy times with Him? Because these days are dark. Let us not forget that Matthew 6:6, second part, it says, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Yes, there's a blessing when we get in the presence of the Lord and we're talking to Him. God says, I like that. I like this relationship. I like this connection. And what we're talking about in secret and the transformation that's taking place in secret, it is going to be shown when you go out. It's going to be shown when you connect with people. People are going to realize that there's a difference. The disciples, that was one of their biggest testimony. People said, I know. When they looked and they said, you've been with Jesus. You know the Lord, because when you're in the presence of God, you will never be the same. What would happen if we spent more time in our secret places? How would our jobs be changed if we spent more time in our secret places? Our marriages, our relationships, our children, our neighborhood, if we really, really spent more time with God in the secret place. Ed Henson, he tackles this with a thought. He says, again, it is the God who sees in secret that rewards us openly. Here, the intimate father-child relationship between God and man clearly emphasized, it is the experience of private devotional prayer that ultimately prepares one to pray effectively in public. Most people who say they cannot pray in public do not pray effectively in private either. Wow. Learning through prayer. Look at Matthew 6:7 with me. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. Yeah, can you see the disciples? And I can see others are coming around as Jesus is teaching this. The disciples are taking it in because they want to know how to pray. And others are coming in. And now Jesus pointingly, He said, this is the way you do it. This is another point I'm wanting to get across to you. He hears our prayers. Yes, God hears our prayers. This is critical. The vain repetitions within the scripture is actually in the Greek. It's a word. I'm going to read it to you. Batalogio or gio denotes babbling or speaking without thinking. Yes, it's a powerful word. How many times have we prayed out of habit? We weren't even thinking about what we were saying. You know, many times, sadly, over our food, we pray out of habit. We just kind of go through it, or somebody asks us for a prayer. We just kind of go through it. When we go to sleep at night, we just kind of say a habitual prayer. And God's not pleased with that. He wants us to get to the point that every time we talk to Him, that we are connecting with Him. Imagine if we just had pet things that we said to those that were around us. Every day we said the same thing to our neighbor. Every day we said the same conversation as those in our family. It would get old after a while, and the people that we were talking to would realize, you know what? They're not connecting with me. There's no relationship that's building, but so often we do this when it comes to the Lord. We have to be an example that we're not going to be babbling in our prayers. We've got to come to the point of allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us, to renew our minds, that we can truly talk to the Lord. I want to give you some examples from the Old Testament where it was clearly shown of this vain repetition. Remember with Elijah, he went up against the prophets of Baal, 1 Kings 18:26. So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us. O Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, no one answered. They did this over and over again. And then they leaped about the altar which they made. This is important. They did dances. They were just jumping up and down, just emotionally stirred, trying to move their God. O Baal, dancing, jumping up and down. 1 Kings 18:27. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud. For he is a God. Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened." 1 Kings 18:28. So they cried aloud and cut themselves, and as was their custom, with knives and lances, until the blood gushed out on them. I'm talking about a learning through prayer. They vain repetitions and doing crazy things, trying to get the attention of a God that could not hear, because there was only one true and living God. Look at 1 Kings 18:29. "And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention." Learning through prayer. But our Father hears us. Can you put it in chat? My Father hears me. Wherever you are, wherever you're sitting, say, "My Father hears me." It's so important to realize that. Woodrow Kroll gives us a picture of this powerful prayer. Jesus condemns the use of empty repetition as an attempt to overcome the will of God by wearing him out. Prayer, again, is connecting with the Lord. He goes on, he says, "It is not the length of prayer, but the strength of prayer that prevails with God." Jesus himself prayed all night prior to his crucifixion, and on most other occasions prayed very briefly. He is not condemning lengthy prayers, although there is nothing particularly spiritual about them. He is merely emphasizing that prayer must be a sincere expression of the heart, not mere accumulation of verbiage. God is not impressed with words, but with the genuine outcry of a needy heart. Learning through prayer. Lord just spoke to me about this. He says, sometimes the most powerful prayers are prayers that are never spoken out loud. Wow. Can you put amen in the chat? Just say amen wherever you're sitting at. Sometimes the most powerful prayers are prayers that are never spoken out loud. Remember Hannah, when she was praying for a child. I love this portion of scripture, 1 Samuel 1:10. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. 1 Samuel 1:11. And then she made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." And it happened, here it is, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Look at this 13th verse. "Now Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk." 1 Samuel 1:14. "So Eli said to her, 'How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you.' But Hannah answered and said, 'No, my Lord. I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord.'" Remember, she didn't verbally, this did not come out. They couldn't hear it. Her lips were moving, but it was all taking place in her heart. 1 Samuel 1:16, "Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken until now." He hears our prayers. Yes, it's about connecting with him. Not so much what we're saying out of our mouth. Yes, we can put it out and verbiage can come out. But if it's not connecting in our hearts, it's not true prayer, learning through prayer. Look at Matthew 6, 9. In this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So now Jesus continues on. So he tells them what not to do, and then he tells them what they should do. And now he gives a model, a kind of a prototype. And as this is called Lord's Prayer, often it's really the model prayer. That's what it should be called in a sense, or the prototype prayer, however you want to put it. But it just models. I've memorized this, and every day, mostly I'll quote this, but not just in doing it out of habit per se, but to think about, okay, what is he saying within this? Let me show you. Jesus, as he's given this prototype, is giving us an example of the things that should be a part of our prayer life. This first part is critical in Matthew 6, 9. That second part, he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We must take time to actually stand in the presence of God. Yes, or if your habit is to kneel in the presence of God and to adore him. In the Old Testament, listen to me with this, the name of God was so precious and so honored and so reverenced that they wouldn't even say it. Yeah, they had pretty letters that they would put together with Elohim that they didn't want to speak the name of Jehovah because it was so reverential, and this whole process. And so many times we take for granted in our lives that we can come before a holy God and we can lift up our hands and we can thank him for his grace and mercy. We can call on the name of Jesus. And so often we're quick to jump into prayer asking God for this and that, but we've got to say, you know what? Hallowed is your name. Holy is your name. I worship you, God. I thank you for what you've done. Romans 8:15 tells us something, and this is why we're so blessed. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness. I love this, with our spirit, that we are children of God. Think we get to come before Abba, Father, and our daddy, and we can worship him. We can hollow, holy is his name, as we stand before him. This is learning through prayer. This is how we renew our mind to understand he's God and God alone. Please, you've heard this over and over again, but if he never does anything else for us, he's already done more than enough. Any hallelujahs? Look at Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here's the point. Submit to his will. Submit to his will. Yes, that's big. It's huge. It's bringing ourselves in line with God's will, not battling God to pull him to our will, but literally saying, God, not my will, but let thy will be done. After worship, we should pray for God to be lifted up, his plans, his kingdom. In our days, if you pray early in the morning, and I encourage all of us to pray, ask him before you go out in your day and say, God, I want your will to be done. I've got these plans. I've got these desires. I want to do this. But Lord, if you need to turn me, if I need to connect with somebody, God, I pray that your will be done. We spend so many times, much time praying for our stuff and our way and God to bless our paths. And he does. And anybody know that? He's a gracious God. But what about souls? What about those who are on their way to hell, living in darkness, that God wants someone to cry out for them, that God wants someone to fast for them, that God wants someone to truly have a relationship and pray to him for souls? Timothy, led of the Holy Spirit, lets us know about prayers and what they should encompass. 1 Timothy 2:1, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for
all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. Are you praying for your neighbors and the people in your neighborhood, those that God is allowing you to connect with? Are you praying for your president, kings, those who are in leadership positions? Are you lifting up our Senate and our Congress? Are you lifting up the elections? Are you just talking about it? But if you are a saint, we are required to pray. 1 Timothy 2:3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Are we doing this? Are we praying for souls? Are we believing that God can use us? All of us have a calling to proclaim God's word, the good news. We're learning through prayer, renewing our mind. Look at Matthew 6:11. This is a big one. Give us this day our daily bread. Here's the point. Be thankful for your daily provisions. Be thankful for your daily provisions. So many times we're just asking God for more, but not thanking him for what he's already done for us. Yes, yes. Jesus exemplifies this. He says, daily, give us our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. He's not praying for the rest of the week. He's not praying for the rest of the month or the year. He's like, I just want you to give me my daily bread. This is the prototype. This is the example. This is so important. I've been reading this book with love to China, and it's an amazing book. The author is Hudson Taylor, and as I've been reading about his life, my kids, when they were homeschooled, they actually went in this in their missionary program, and it's amazing with Mr. Taylor as he prays for daily provisions. Yes, there was a time that he was a part of this convention that sent him out, and the convention had got in debt, and he said, you know what? I know my God is a provider. And he says, since you got in debt, I don't want to be a part of that. I want to believe God for my daily provisions. Every piece of food that I eat or whatever, I want to believe him. And I'm thinking about, wow, faith. We've got to thank God daily for the jobs he gives us, daily for the meals that he gives us. Thank him for what we have right now. I'm telling you, he has been such a gracious God. And that's how we learn, through prayer, renewing our mind. Jesus will later teach in this chapter in Matthew 6:31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. You know it, Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. 34th verse, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. Any amens out there? We need to thank him for our daily provisions, what God is doing right now. Look at Matthew 6:12. And forgive us our debts. Some of us just want to stop at this part, but it goes on. As we forgive our debtors. This is critical. The point is, live in forgiveness. Yes, live in forgiveness. God spoke this to me. I want to read it to you. Our fellowship with the Father hinges on our forgiveness of others. Yes, yes, just put amen in the chat. Our fellowship with the Father hinges on our forgiveness of others. Saints of God, I want you to know, you can't really have a fellowship without forgiveness. Yes, 1 John 4:20 talks about this. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? 21st verse, and this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. We've got to live in forgiveness. We've got to decide, God, I want to be close to you, and no matter if I'm offended by such and such, no matter what such and such has done, I gotta forgive. I gotta lend that forgiveness. And that's the renewing of our mind, that we can realize, we can let people go, and we put them in the hands of the Lord and say, God, I want you to heal me. I need to focus on you. That's learning through prayer. Look at Matthew 6:13. He said, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Here's another point. stay close to God. Yes, stay close to God, learning through prayer. This is interesting. This verse has been challenging. I mean, the theologians have struggled. Lead us not to temptation. Doesn't the scripture say that he's not going to lead us in temptation? But you got to take it in context. James talks about that when we go into temptation, it's not God's fault. It's because of our desires and our lusts that we get into these temptations. But there is a specific situation that Jesus is referring to here. Back in chapter 4, Matthew, I want to read this to you. Jesus was actually led into temptation. Let me show you Matthew 4:1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. You're like, "Woo!" Let me read that again. Matthew 4:1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. In essence, sometimes we'll find ourselves in undesirable places, but our desire should be to do God's will no matter what. And we need to thank the Lord for leading Jesus into the wilderness for that encounter where the devil tempted him over and over. But I'm so glad that man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Aren't you glad for the Christ, the anointed one, that's teaching us and taking us to a point of learning more about prayer and renewing our mind? I love this part in Matthew 6:13, that second part. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And amen. It is all about his power and his anointing. And if we could just see what he's doing, if our minds could be renewed, oh my, every day that we're going through, there should be a shout, there should be a praise, there should be a clapping of hands when we think how good he's been to us. Let me sum this up in the next two verses, Matthew 6:14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, I knew we were going to circle back around this because I wanted to say more about that forgiveness. But Jesus says, you got to get this, because all of these blessings and this transformation doesn't mean anything if you don't forgive. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But could you put in the chat, but wherever you're sitting, say, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespass. Final point, true change. Yes, true change. Again, Christ, as he is circled back around, he pulls out that forgiveness. You thought we were past. You're like, man, I'm just going to leave that back in a couple of verses. But he says, hey, this is not going to work if you got unforgiveness in your heart. Matthew 6:15. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Oh, our minds need to be renewed, because so often the enemy brings people into our lives that hurt us and cause problems. And all of a sudden we can find this thing rising up in us of hatred and all this strife. We got to let it go and say, God, cleanse me, creating me a clean heart, renewing me a right spirit. Oh, when the Lord has paid it all for us, we've got to realize that he is the one that can carry our burdens, our griefs. And that's why Jesus couldn't stop at this teaching. But we find him out later. He has to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's betrayed by Judas Iscariot. He's beaten all night long. And he goes to that cross of Calvary, taking nails in his hands and nails in his feet. But there on the cross, we learn by seeing him pray. Please understand, Luke 23 brings out something powerful. That 32nd verse, there were also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And that 34th verse, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Learning through prayer. Yes, that prototype example of prayer that he was teaching his disciples was also in his life. And even at the cross of Calvary, he knew how to pray forgiveness. And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. But I'm so glad to tell you, he died on that cross. They put him in a cold grave, but he got up 3 days later with all power and all glory, because he wanted to show us that he's a powerful God. And now Jesus has ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he is interceding. He's praying for us, that we could learn through prayer.
that our minds can be renewed. Saints, as we spend more time with God, we learn these principles. We grow, and now our prayer life becomes effective. Yes, effective to those that are around us, but most importantly, to us, that we realize that we serve a big, big God, our Abba Father, our Daddy, who wants to transform us in our minds, that we can get how blessed we are, and that we're left here for a purpose, to share the good news that there is hope. Can you put it in chat? Hope. Can you just say hope? There is hope. In this world of darkness and so many crazy things that are happening, not just in the United States, all over the world, there is hope. And you know who brings it? Jesus. If you don't know him, I encourage you, why wait? Ask him into your heart. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. It says you will be saved. Ephesians 2:8 says it's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift from him. Would you accept that gift? Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has prepared beforehand that we could walk in them. Learning through prayer. I encourage you as we pray together that you find that secret place, that you submit to the will of God, that you know it's all about him, that you spend time in worship, just hallowing his name because he is holy, and you thank him for his will being done. I'm telling you, these things will change your life. You know why? Because you're with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's pray. Father, holy is your name. So often, God, we have failed you. Please forgive us. Thank you, Jesus, for praying for us. Holy Spirit, thank you for being inside the believer. Thank you for adding to the body of Christ as you see fit. Souls being saved and minds being renewed. Lord, help us. I pray, God, that this message really be taken to heart, that we apply it to our lives, that today, even today, we pray more effectively in you, Lord, and it not be about vain repetitions, but it be about a connection with you. Thank you for your grace and mercy. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's no one great among us. We're nothing on our own. We make mistakes, sometimes slip. Just common flesh and bone. But I know he'll prove just what I said. We are a special kind. When he was on the cross, you and I was on his mind. A look of love was on his face, thorns on his head. The blood that stained his scarlet robe was stained in crimson red. Though his eyes was on the crowd that day, he looked ahead in time. When he was on the cross. You and I was on His mind. He knew me, and yet He loved me. He whose glory made the heaven shine. I'm not worthy of such mercy. When He was on the cross, you and I was on His mind. Yes, when He was on the cross, you and I was on His.